Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God for our meditation this evening is the lesson from Luke chapter 23, which we have heard. In Jesus' name. If someone were to ask you to summarize the whole Bible in just one word, what would that word be? Would it be the word substitute? Perhaps not. But that concept, that word substitute, is central to the gospel and looms large before us in our reading before us this evening as we visit the courtroom of Pontius Pilate, a place for a substitute. It was early Friday morning. The Jewish leaders had condemned Jesus in their own court, declaring the innocent one to be guilty. They had dragged him through the streets to Pilate's fortress, banged on the door, roused the governor from sleep, and demanded the death sentence. It's safe to assume that Pilate had heard of Jesus and knew that his teaching had something to do with the Jewish religion. It's altogether possible that Pilate had wanted an opportunity to see and hear Jesus, but what happened was certainly not what he was hoping for. Pilate could have put a stop to these shenanigans right then and there. He could have said, "Get out of here." But to curry favor, he said, "Okay, I'll check him out." After questioning Jesus, he was convinced that this preacher from Galilee was not a political activist. He was not a criminal. He was not a rebel. So Pilate had a problem on his hands. How could he appease the crowd and still preserve some semblance of justice? His first move was to confront the people with the truth. "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But the crowd would not stand for that. Next, the governor tried to pass the buck. King Herod was in town. Maybe he would find a solution, but that didn't work either. Even Herod had to agree that Jesus was innocent. "I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod." Now what? Pilate thought. "Maybe if I have Jesus whipped, they will see his bloodied body, have a little pity, and be satisfied. Indeed, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him." But the leaders and the people still weren't appeased. They were still calling for Jesus' death. Pilate had one last ace up his sleeve, for it was necessary for him to release one to them at the feast. At that time, there was a prisoner named Barabbas who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder. Chalk up murder and insurrection for Barabbas. Jesus had a clean slate. Pilate was sure the crowd would want Barabbas to stay behind bars. What he didn't bargain for was their hatred against Jesus, running so deep and flowing so fast and furious. "Away with this man and release to us Barabbas." The crowd chose Barabbas as a substitute for Jesus. Bad choice, you're thinking. How could the crowd be so evil, so stupid, so insensitive? They should have chosen Jesus. Are you so arrogant to think that you are above the crowd? Above the crowd in Jerusalem who called for Barabbas instead of Jesus? When you examine your own life, aren't there situations in which you have done the same thing? Whenever we follow our old sinful nature, rather than following Christ, we are choosing Barabbas. Whether it's choosing to gossip and slander our neighbor rather than defend them, or deciding to go along with the crowd when it comes to activities forbidden in the commandments because everybody's doing it. Whether it's a parent lashing out in anger at their child rather than carefully choosing their words in love. Or a child who lies to cover up the truth rather than being honest from the start. If we're honest to ourselves, we'll have to admit that we've all been guilty of doing essentially the same thing the crowd did here in Pilate's courtroom. When given the choice between good and evil, the choice between what is God-pleasing and what is self-serving, when given the choice between Jesus and Barabbas, we've chosen Barabbas. Dear friends in Christ, this is Lent, and Lent is a tough season for you and me. It's tough because we're put in a position from which we can't escape. This is a season of repentance, a season in which we reflect upon our sins and upon the great lengths to which God went, even sacrificing his own son on the cross to take away our sins. This sin business is serious. It's sad and dangerous and damnable. You're in it, and so am I. And whether we want to admit it or not, every time we sin, every unkind word we speak, every impure thought we think, every time we disobey God's law, we are choosing Barabbas as our substitute for Jesus and sending the Son of God on his death march. Each year, the key feature of our Lenten services is to walk with our Lord Jesus to the cross. We do this through the reading of the Passion History and by more closely examining portions of that Passion History through sermons that explain and apply them. I don't know about you, but each time I hear the Passion History, I find myself identifying with some of the characters. Peter, who denied his Lord. John Mark, who ran away when Jesus was arrested and dropped his robe. The women weeping at the foot of the cross. But there are some characters we'd rather shy away from. No way that I'm a Judas or a Herod or a Pilate. And then the preacher begins the inevitable application to remind us of our sins. And sure enough, we have to swallow hard and admit that in our own hearts, there's a Christ betraying Judas, a miracle mocking Herod, and a truth ignoring Pilate. But there's one character we just can't be, Barabbas. Surely we're not murderers, but wait, you know what's coming, don't you? Listen to what the scriptures say. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. If someone caught your entire life on CCTV and captured your every move and mood and then uploaded it onto YouTube, do you think it would show a flicker of inappropriate anger? Like when the state trooper wouldn't accept your perfectly logical explanation for being in a hurry and handed you a ticket. When you blew up at your parents for taking away privileges because of your misbehavior, or your reaction when your friend said something nasty about you on Twitter, don't try to hide it. You can't hide from God any more than Adam and Eve tried to in the garden. Not only are we all little Judases, Herods, and Pontius Pilates, we're all little Barabbases waiting on death row for a sure and certain sentence of condemnation to be carried out. But then God takes us to Pilate's courtyard, to the place for a substitute, But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released to them the one they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison. But he delivered Jesus to their will. Jesus went to the cross as a substitute for Barabbas. And here's the miracle. God gave Jesus as a substitute for all of us little Barabbases. And so complete is that substitution that God now considers Jesus' suffering to be ours, Jesus' pain to be ours, Jesus' death to be ours. Yes, because of our sin, you and I are little Barabbases. But God gave Jesus as a substitute for us all. Listen to this poem. Barabbas, in his prison cell, gazed on the heavens fair and saw a paschal moon ascend in night's empurpled air. The hours crept on. With awe and dread, he waited for the morn. He heard at last the soldier's tread and saw the bolt withdrawn. Barabbas, so the soldier spake, I bring thee news of grace, for Christ, the man of Nazareth, today shall take thy place. Outside the gate shall Jesus bear the cross prepared for thee. Go thou to the atoning feast. The man of crime went free. Barabbas saw the darkened earth when came the hour of noon and slept in peace when Jesus wept beneath the paschal moon. O Barabbas, man of sin, in thee I see myself redeemed by grace. The blood-stained cross that rose for thee took every sinner's place. These are the words of a poet. Now listen to the word of God. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. A place for a substitute. There's no better place for us to be. Amen.